This is Tuesday, March 1st, 2016. Water Strider mounts had their 15 minutes of alpha infamy, there's a pair of new Overwatch shows to introduce, and I spend some time with a trio of dirty casuals. This is episode 182.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, heroes and minions, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to the show. My name is Rowan, of course, thanks as always for downloading this week. Let's get the show rolling with, maybe not a rolling restart, because there really isn't any one thing I want to talk about at length this week, and previous rolling restarts have been a bit on the long side the past few weeks, I've noticed, so for once I'm going to do what most other Blizzard podcasts do out there, and talk briefly, and I do mean briefly, about my past week, or rather, just a few bits from it. The amount of time that I've spent in World of Warcraft has been pretty minimal, and most of that has been trying to get a Love Rocket mount, which I will probably never ever use, but just feel compelled to get because it's so hard to get. And no, I didn't get it. After logging in one main character 14 times, I know there are people who logged in characters like across all their alts, people have tried over 100 times during this whole world event and haven't gotten it. So, yeah, I've had the same luck as you guys. I'm no special podcaster buff or anything like that. The only thing really keeping me in WoW is raiding, but while I'm not quitting WoW altogether, I've more or less decided that I won't be keeping my sub active after April 11th, at least until the pre-Legion content's about to come out. Now, don't worry, it's not going to affect this show much, because I'm still going to be talking about WoW from time to time. I mean, a lot of WoW podcasts have people who aren't playing WoW much they're still talking about, so that's nothing different. And it's not going to stop me from interviewing WoW podcasts. In fact, next week will include a WoW podcast interview. I just want to spend this time playing games that have content I haven't experienced yet, and have plenty of it, so I'm going to be directing my focus to other games. One of those games will be Hearthstone. It's actually the Blizzard game that I play the most of, and March is going to be the month where I think I'm going to make a push to once again see how far I can get in ranked mode. Last time I did this whole push to Legendary or whatever, I got rank 10, which I was quite happy with. My goal this time is rank 5, and we'll see where things go from there. But honestly, the most fun that I've had in Hearthstone in a while was this past week in Tavern Brawl. It was the Charge of the Minions Tavern Brawl, which was a new one where all your summoned minions had taunt and charge. And it was really awesome for me because I didn't net deck it. With a lot of these Tavern Brawls that require constructed decks, I would go to like hearthpwn.com, look up what deck is working, build one of those decks, and then get my free pack and say, okay, I'm done with it. Usually I don't like constructed Tavern Brawls. I like the random stuff. But this time I decided, you know what? I'm not going to go online for answers. I'm going to just try to build my own deck, try to solve this puzzle and see what works. And I created a Paladin deck, which I didn't see anyone else play in like the 50 or 60 times I played Tavern Brawl. And that just goes to show you how much I loved this last week's Tavern Brawl. And my Paladin deck seemed to break the meta of that whole Tavern Brawl, because I would play things that countered 90% of what my opponent was doing, to the point where half of them would just give up because they were so frustrated they couldn't make any progress on me. So yeah, that was kind of one of my highest moments of playing Hearthstone there. I had a lot of fun with that. And I think it encourages me to not try and net deck, at least with Tavern Brawls in the future. And the last thing I want to talk about really quick is Heroes of the Storm. So I've been playing enough Heroes of the Storm to get my daily quests done so I can get gold, so I can buy the next hot new character that comes out, which probably means I'm spending it all on Zul, because Zul looks freaking awesome. But I've been watching more Heroes of the Storm than I have been playing it, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but one thing I wanted to comment about is the North American Spring Regionals that were held last weekend. I thought there were a lot of great games, a lot of great matches. Congrats to those that were able to advance on, and I'll mention that in just a second. But the thing that got to me was just how low-key the event seemed to me. This was an event that was held in a studio. Now, I don't know if it was held in a studio simply because there was a short period of time from the time they announced the global championship format and doing this event altogether or what, but I feel like this is something that should have had a bigger deal been made out of. I mean, I remember the America's Championship, I think, last year when it was back in, I think, what, Las Vegas, right? And Cloud9 went there and there was a whole big deal about it and you had an audience and everything and the atmosphere was crazy and stuff. This was basically just a LAN party in a studio without people cheering, without Thundersticks, you know, being bashed together and all that stuff. And I don't know, it's for what is basically your America's Championship for the game, it just felt low-key. I feel like a bigger deal should have been made out of it. I hope that in the following championships, definitely the global championship for spring is going to be a big deal with an audience and everything in Korea. But when the North American championship for summer and fall come around later this year, I sincerely hope that they do it at a venue where people can actually go there and participate and spectate, make noise, cheer for their favorite team. I think the streaming was fine. The production quality was better. It could be even better. But if they really want this game to be something people talk about on the esports scene beyond just the people that play it, they need to make a bigger deal out of their big tournaments because they don't happen all that often. Anyhow, that's enough rambling for 1 week. I won't be doing this often, talking about different games in short like this. Like I said, there was no one big hot topic for me. But Ro, what about Water Striders, huh? Well, water about them. Okay, sorry. I think I can cover that and a few bits of other news easily as we go around the world of Warcraft and more in 80 seconds. New builds for the Legion Alpha continue to roll out on an almost weekly basis, with the latest one bringing a moderate amount of critique. In last week's build, a change was made to Water Strider mounts that would only allow their water walking use in the expansion content they were obtained in. Just a few days later, the vocal reaction from players on the forums and elsewhere prompted developers to announce that those changes would be entirely reverted in a future Alpha build. Other notable additions to the Alpha client include the opening of the Arkway dungeon and the removal of gold rewards from garrison and shipyard missions. 8 teams representing North America battled it out in Burbank, California this past weekend in the Spring Regional Championship for Heroes of the Storm. After 2 long days of competition, Cloud9 defeated Team Niventic to win first place and $25,000. Both teams will represent the region in the upcoming Global Championship in early April. Well-known Mythic raiding team Paragon announced that they would no longer be raiding, removing themselves from the first place race in Legion. And finally, Zul the Necromancer from the Diablo universe enters the Nexus in Heroes of the Storm this week. Zul is a melee specialist with an assortment of tools including the passive trait of raising defeated minions as skeleton warriors to fight with him. Personally, I can't wait to play him. And that's your news! I'll be back with the hosts of Dirty Casual after the overly dramatic news with Hunts the Wind.
Poor drop rate has people looking for Love Rocket in all the wrong places. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. We've reached that time of the year when love is in the air, but for many frustrated mount collectors, all they can think about is what isn't in the air. Them on a big Love Rocket. Year after year, alt after alt, they battle the Crown Chemical Company only to come up empty. Rumor has it that the odds of winning one of these amorous aircraft are only slightly better than winning Powerball. So it really shouldn't come as any surprise that some are going to, shall we say, extra legal means to satisfy this pent-up demand. Recently, ODN has received reports of counterfeit BLRs showing up in various auction houses. While the source of these fakes is not certain, one rumor is that Elon Musk's SpaceX company is using the holiday to cover a secret test of a new version of their reusable short-range launch vehicle. The theory is that since Goblin technology is expected to blow up, any test failures will go unnoticed to SpaceX investors. At last report, the Azerothian Trade Commission is investigating this rumor, but advises any recent rocket buyers that if your rocket lasts less than the distance between 4 quest hubs, consult your mechanic. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
The Heroes of the Storm come in all forms, be it a pufferfish-slinging baby murloc or a space lord threatening the world with doom if it weren't for those meddling star princesses. The same kind of variety can also be attributed to podcasts for Blizzard's Hero Brawler. For some, it's all about the meta. and Leeming nerfs, Meeling, Leeming, Lemming, whatever, and esports. For others, it's just about being a dirty casual who loves the game. This week's spotlight is on the Dirty Casual podcast, the Heroes of the Storm podcast for the rest of us, and with me are hosts Bearcat, Big Oakley, and Argyle, who are all here in the same room on the other side of this microphone, which I wasn't expecting. How are you all three doing?
Doing great.
Both fine and dandy.
Yes, we are great.
Well, it's good to have you on. Now, one of the things I usually ask is how the three of you came together to get this podcast up and going. In the case of Bearcat and Big Oakley, you two came together by the fact of being, well, you're a couple, so you kind of live with each other, so that's kind of a thing. So, Bearcat, could you talk a little bit about just the history behind how the show got started and also how you brought Argyle into the mix?
Obviously, Oakley and I, we got married actually shortly before BlizzCon, and we had been really excited thinking about making a podcast, and Frosty from the Frozen Fox Network approached me and knew that I'd been wanting to do something like this, so he asked me to do it. We already play Heroes with Argyle here, and he also has previous podcast experience, so I asked him to join us to give, you know, a little bit of a neutral spin on us, because no one wants to hear just a married couple, you know, bitching about Heroes. So, you know, he joined us, and I think he really balances us out. He's got
He's got a nice radio voice to go along with us.
That's true, yeah. Out of all of us, I think he has the best voice.
She found me on Craigslist.
Stop. Don't listen to me. the misconnections. Yeah. Like, I was in Quick Match, and you were the ETC.
That's how it worked out.
Oakley, the name of the show, Dirty Casual, obviously that's speaking toward the type of players I would imagine that the three of you profess to be. What's the significance, though, behind the name of the show? Is it just simply that, or was there more to it?
There was quite a lot more to it, actually. It's actually a name originally that Bearcat came up with. She'd been tossing ideas around for a long time, trying to come up with the perfect name for a podcast. Like she said, this is something we've been wanting to do for a while, and it was actually her idea for the name. So where did your idea of the name come from?
At the time, I was working on Hearthstone, and I did tons of Hearthstone, and Hearthstone was constantly being tuned. And the one thing about constant tuning is there's always the argument of, why do we tune something? Is it for a pro player? Do we tune it around pros? Do we turn it around casuals? And I always laughed at this word. I always thought it was just, I mean, it's a silly word, but you know what? So many of us are these dirty casuals. And I think that it's just the kind of like the common man. And I'm taking it back. That's really what we're doing, is we're taking back the name Dirty Casual.
And Argyle, so from what I understand, the three of you play Heroes of the Storm together. You even live stream games together on Tuesday evenings, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
How difficult is it to play Heroes of the Storm together when one of you perhaps drops the ball?
That happens often, actually.
Who's the one who does it?
We take turns, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
We determine before the match who is going to mess it up the most.
Yeah.
And no, of course. things happen. Either, you know, you could be having a bad day and you could play just terribly. You could pick a character that's not fun. One of the great things about Tuesday games is we're playing characters who are purely on the free character roster for that week. So we may not be particularly skilled in the characters that we're choosing, which happens frequently. So there's no use really getting upset about it, and just kind of look forward to the next game. Maybe play a character you're more familiar with. Maybe you'll just have a better experience altogether.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing when the Lost Vikings are in the free rotation?
Well, thankfully, it's only happened once since the game came out.
The second
officially.
Time actually just happened a bit recently.
I thought that was the first time since release, actually. Like, since actual release, wasn't that the first time it's ever been on rotation?
We'll check the books.
Yeah, no, I might be wrong. I might be confusing it with another one of the specialist characters. I thought it was the second time the Lost Vikings were on the free rotation, but I very well could be wrong.
Well, I just didn't like the fact that Li Ming was out running amok, and then you have these characters who are very difficult to separate. And, well, they just kind of go pop, pop, pop.
all three getting hit by arcane missiles at the same time.
It's just
exploding.
Or that S of Johan!
Which you don't have to worry about anymore.
No.
Thankfully.
It's a lost era, really. For 2 weeks, I was a god.
Well, the three of you obviously have a love for Blizzard games. You mentioned playing Hearthstone, and I know at least a couple of you have been involved in World of Warcraft as well. When it comes to Heroes of the Storm, though, I'd like to kind of go around the table, as it were, and find out, what is it about this game that each of you specifically enjoy? Bearcalf, we can start with you.
I actually had never played a MOBA before, and I was really scared of them. You know, sometimes it can be very toxic. Sometimes, I mean, they just have a lot of depth to them. I would say that the nice thing about Heroes is that it's extraordinarily accessible to, you know, dirty casuals. And for that, I really thank it for just kind of opening me up to this whole world and genre I never thought I would get into. So the thing I like about it is that it has a good amount of depth while still remaining extraordinarily accessible for new players.
I'm kind of come from the same direction, actually. I had tried playing both Dota and League of Legends before Heroes came out, and walking into a game and trying to figure out what to buy when and what's good and how I should play this particular hero wasn't always obvious. Stepping into Heroes, you have with just the talent system, you get a little bit more of a definition of what you should be doing, how the hero is going to perform, and what to expect as you're playing. So I like Bearcat said, it's very, very much more accessible, easier to get into, and I think it's more attractive for people that have never played a MOBA before.
Does that pretty much resonate with you as well, Argyle?
Actually, no. I have played a ludicrous amount of Dota. Okay. Like 1,900 hours, I think, last recorded on my
It's almost as much time Ro has spent podcasting.
Almost.
So one of the things I really like about Heroes, after finally giving it a chance, I thought it was like a baby game for such a long time because it's so pared down from other MOBAs. But I really like that it is, honestly, it actually feels like a team-based game. In League and Dota, you often have a carry who basically does everything, and they carry your team to victory. And it's basically because, oh, this one guy did his job really well. In Heroes of the Storm, since you share experience, you share levels, it really feels like a team effort by the end of the game. And it's less about, oh man, this one guy did really well, or this one guy did really badly. Not to say that doesn't happen in this game, but it's less of a make it or break it kind of experience. It really does feel like a team effort.
Everyone is pretty much equally important to the team's success, whereas in the other MOBAs, it's not always the case.
Exactly that.
Well, Oakley, can you take us through the format of a typical episode now? I haven't listened to every episode of the show, but just having looked over the descriptions of several of your episodes so far, I know that the three of you do like to talk about balance changes, but what else do you talk about on the show?
Well, it's a pretty simple format so far. We do just a quick introduction, a discussion of how our individual weeks went, you know, what we experienced, what we did, just real quick. And then we go over our free play night on Tuesdays. We go over that real quick, just reminisce or go back over our horrible defeats, whichever it happens to be on any given week.
And we talk about what the free characters are and a little bit about what kind of synergies they might have.
Right. So we try to give some ideas on some teams that could go together, and we try to demo some of them as well while we're playing on Tuesdays. And then we go into, if there's any big news, like a big patch, or since we just switched to a Wednesday recording, if there was a balancing that happened, we go into that. And from there we try to have a segment going. We've done some segments on warriors and on supports. We've been trying to get a specialist segment going, but we keep having these big news drops, balance changes, and the matchmaking news that came out. So we haven't been able to get to our specialist one yet. So we try to cover, you know, a segment of something that we've got right now. So we're always coming up with ideas for new segments. And then we like to round out our episodes with a question to our listeners, and that we answer ourselves before the end of the show.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up just all the frequent balance updates that have been happening with Heroes of the Storm. In the past several weeks, they've really changed things up with making it almost a weekly thing. And in turn, that has actually impacted almost every Heroes of the Storm podcast that I listen to. Bearcat, do you feel that weekly updates to balance changes and everything is a good thing for the community? Is it a good thing for your show? How do you feel about weekly balance updates?
I think it's an excellent thing for the community and an excellent thing for the health of the game. For the for our show, however, I do worry about it getting a little bit stale, and I think that we're going to try to mix it up, especially if another one comes or another one drops. I think we're only going to spend time only talking about the most impactful ones. But other than that, I mean, I'm happy. I'm so happy. They really have listened to the player base and what they wanted. I mean, this is a living and breathing game that has constant updates, and it really can't just be left stagnant. You know, it's just not – it's not really fair to the player base to leave them hanging with something incredibly imbalanced.
You don't see that in other games, in other MOBAs at all. I mean, like, we get a new character like every 3 to 4 weeks. Dota had a character come out recently, and the last one before that was about a year.
Right. So balance changes, I mean, they're needed. You have so many – you're adding people constantly to the roster. That's another thing that – League, I don't even – it just got a new character, but it was a long time before it had a new character added before that. And so, you know, since we're getting these frequent characters, the frequent balances are needed.
Right, because in a way, Heroes of Storm is kind of playing catch-up to develop a roster that can kind of stand side-by-side with some of the other games that already have well-developed rosters out there. I think League has well over 100 characters right now, right?
And I think Dota does too, right? Yep. Yes. Absolutely. So, I mean, we got a ways to go, and we're on the up and up as far as that's concerned.
Absolutely. Well, Argyle, the show is called Dirty Casual. Now, time and time again when I've talked about the definition of casual and hardcore, I've mentioned that those words mean different things to different people and how they approach the game or just how they approach anything in life, really. For you, what's the definition of a dirty casual Heroes of the Storm player?
Someone who just really wants to get the most out of their gaming experience without devoting their entire life to it. Someone who could just come home after work and just play as well or as hard as they can and just be satisfied with their performance. Maybe not be as into it as the most hardcore of hardcores, but put a little more effort and research into it than just your average guy.
Would that pretty much go the same for the other two of you?
I think so, yeah. That speaks pretty truly to like how I've developed as I've gotten older with my gaming, because I used to come from a hardcore area with World of Warcraft. I played as hard as I could, had to be the best, min-maxing like crazy. But I played, you know, 8-10 hours a day. I can't do that anymore. I'm too old for that. So when I sit down to play, you know, the six games we might play a night, I try to play the absolute best I can, as close to perfect as I can with whoever I'm playing.
The nice thing about casual players is they always seem willing to learn. And I know that I am always willing to learn, and I try to make, again, the most of my time with what I have. That's why I'm a multitasker to the extraordinaire. I used to listen to podcasts about WoW even when I wasn't playing, just because I could come back and feel like I didn't lose any time at all. And I want people to be able to listen to our show and feel like they aren't missing anything if they can't play as much as other people do.
Yeah, as far as the whole learning process go, I probably play maybe 2 to 3 hours of Heroes of the Storm a week. And one thing I notice is that as new battlegrounds get added, as new heroes get brought into the mix, it feels like I'm still constantly learning how to play the game. What kind of topics, besides just the ever-evolving weekly balance changes of late, what would you say the three of you tend to talk about the most on the show, Bearcat?
I think the thing that comes up with us a lot is like unloved characters. I think that, you know, we talk a lot about Chen on our show, honestly. We love that bear. We just love the bear, and we want to have him back. And we talk a little bit about Tychus. You know, we talk about characters that don't really get a lot of love, and I wish that they got some more. It always seems to come up. We're like, why wasn't this person on this patch? And when will we see it? And, you know, I mean, Chen is at the top of the balance changes every week. At least they fixed his kick. At least they did that. Thank God.
That kind of, I guess, speaks well and leads into my next question. Start out with Oakley here. How do you feel about the current state of the game after Leeming has been adjusted and before Zul is about to hit the streets in a week or two?
I'm pretty happy with the state of the game right now, honestly. The work that Blizzard has done to remove the stun meta, or to at least pull it back a little bit, has really made a huge impact on the enjoyment of the game. We mentioned in our most recent show, we have been seeing more variety in the heroes that come up in Quick Match all the time since they started making adjustments to the stun duration and how often they can happen, and all those kinds of things. You're seeing a shift in the meta already because the stuns are basically not as influential. You're seeing more of a poke meta coming into play. And I think that is probably heavily influenced by Li Ming and her ability to just throw from so far away and just mess with people. I'll be interested to see how Zul plays into this meta because he's completely the opposite of poke. So it's going to be interesting to see what exactly he can do with everything.
Yeah, I've noticed that Jaina is also really rising up on the charts in terms of use and just win frequency. Argyle, how do you feel about the current state of things?
I think now, kind of like echoing what Oakley said, now that we're getting more frequent updates, it really breathed some extra life into the game, brought some of those characters that maybe weren't as played as often up into it. And I think really the only thing I would probably change is just a couple of the maps are a little frustrating to play on.
You want Haunted Mines back, admit it, right?
Absolutely not, actually. Every day it's like one of those like last injury at work kind of things. And now we're like
X day since Haunted Mines.
X
day since our last 11-minute game.
Every day I pay tribute to extend however long they need to never bring that map back. And now I'm hoping they add Gardens of Terror to that list also. But aside from that, I do believe it's in a very good state right now.
The balance changes, I've seen just so much shifting in the meta. Like, you know, we can sit here and speculate and talk about what could be good. You know, for example, the introduction of Li Ming, I would not be surprised to see Triple Warrior come back into the meta, for instance. That's a really good way to counter her, more, you know, anti-mage stuff. Once you have that, what do you need to do? Well, you probably do some more AA with Giant Killer. You know, it adds so much more life to the game that was really needed. And for that, I guess that I am very happy. And I think I am satisfied with the state of the game. And as long as if they can keep this pace up, then I think we will be on the up and up with this game.
Yeah, I'm loving the frequency that new heroes are being brought in. And just speaking of speculation, whether it's in regards to new heroes or mechanics or systems with the game, and Bearcat, we might as well start with you first. What do you want to see enter Heroes of the Storm the most in terms of just adjustments to how the game works or new characters?
The only other Blizzard game I've really played the most of has been World of Warcraft. And my favorite World of Warcraft character is Alexstrasza. I also play support, and I think that she would be an excellent support. We need some dragons in this game. I think that would be so awesome.
My big one that I'm championing actually is Chromie. Because
she's actually my second choice.
It would be the first gnome and yet also the first dragon. So you could have this tiny little innocent gnome with time-related abilities, and then for an ultimate, boom, you're a dragon.
I have been talking about Chromie for months to Oakley because she is literally one of my absolute favorite characters. But I ended up going with Alexstrasza at the last minute today because I just thought she made more sense in a support role, and I tend to play support. So,
Oakley, what do you want to see be a part of Heroes of the Storm the most?
I'm also a big Warcraft fan. I played my 10 years of World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
You're a card-carrying member of that club, huh?
I am, absolutely. And I would like to see more of the faction leaders in the game. Specifically, I think it would be cool to see either Karn or Bane come into the game as heroes, or maybe both with a crazy trait where they swap when you die.
You kill Karn and then Bane spawns?
Yes.
That would be interesting. It almost kind of mimics the whole Hearthstone thing going on. I am actually surprised that Vol'jin hasn't become part of the game, but I wonder if that's because they were afraid he would have too much of a voodoo doctor feel to him or something. But yeah, it surprises me that characters like Varian and Vol'jin, who at least presently are current leaders of their factions, aren't part of the game. Argyle, how about you? Who do you want to see enter the Nexus the most?
I know we're getting Zul soon, but the real Zul I'd want to see is Zul Jin. Kind of have maybe like different abilities based on shifting forms. Zul'Farak was one of my favorite instances in WoW when I played that. So it'd just be cool to A, see a troll, and B, see that specific troll.
Yeah, we need some race diversity a little bit, I think. And especially like with the gnomes and trolls, I really like. I want to see that really bad. And we know they got that troll model. I've seen it.
Well, heck, they've got the head of a troll being carried by the witch doctor.
So. Yeah, that's true.
It's out there. Well, things sound so far so good for you guys. You've got a weekly streaming night going on. You have a dozen episodes in the books already. Bearcat, what does the future hold for the Dirty Casual podcast in terms of topics you have planned or any special guests? Like you said, as long as there's no more balance changes on any given week, you're planning to talk about some of the other roles in the game. What else do you think you three might be talking about?
That's most of what we have planned. We've been talking about Zul, and then talking about specialists and going over kind of, you know, their roles in the game. And we still haven't even touched assassins, so we have tons of things to talk about there. And we'd also – the one thing I'd really like to introduce to the show but has been a little bit difficult to implement is I would really like to introduce some more interaction with the people who listen to us. So – If people could ask us questions, maybe about weird interactions, maybe we could test them for them, or, you know, try to do a little bit of the nitty gritty dirty work for them and talk a little bit about that. I would love to do that for some people and try to help them out.
That sounds awesome. And as we mentioned, one way to do that would be for them to check you guys out on Tuesday nights. Argyle, could you talk a little bit about what that is all about and how people can get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. So every Tuesday at 7:30 Central Time, you can catch us at twitch.tv/dirtycasualshow. And we usually pair up with a couple of our buddies that we play with regularly, picking heroes that are purely on the free rotation. And however, there has been a couple of instances where some of our buddies just forget that we're doing that. So we have actually pulled from last week was the first time we actually got to pull from the audience.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, and that was a lot of fun. I really love to do that. You know, you can actually, if you join /dirtycasual in game while we're doing our stream, I would love to start pulling some random people to join our group and just play some free heroes.
I really hope people do check out the podcast. I think you guys have a good show going so far, and it's great to see the podcast community for Heroes of the Storm continuing to grow as the game itself grows. Oakley, if you can tell people where, when, and how listeners can connect with the Dirty Casual podcast.
Let's see if I can get all of this right. So we are on Blogspot at dirtycasualshow.blogspot.com. We are on Twitter at dirtycasualshow, and we are on iTunes and Stitcher. Dirtycasualshow.
It's just dirty casual.
And we're also on Podbean as Dirty Casual.
Thank you three once again for being on the show this week, and have fun in the Nexus on your continuing journeys.
Yeah, see you in the Nexus.
Thank you much. Pleasure to be here.
I'll be back with podcast news after this clip from a recent episode of Dirty Casual.
Welcome to Dirty Casual, a Heroes of the Storm podcast for the rest of us, part of the Frozen Fox Radio Network. I'm your host, Argyle.
Bearcat.
And Big Oakley.
And welcome to a very special list episode of Dirty Casual.
Yes, this is episode number 13. Lucky 13, y'all.
We have promised specialists for 13 episodes, I think. It feels that way, anyway. And this week, we actually get to talk about them.
What's a specialist, Oakley?
Specialists do all kinds of crap.
Whatever the other people don't.
Right, pretty much. But sometimes they still do that, too.
Yes.
Specialists are, as far as trying to define what a specialist does, what they do better than anybody else, it seems like, is soak XP. That is the one thing you can say a specialist can do better than almost any other hero. You can't really break them into separate categories like you can with warriors or assassins.
Also,
or
there's
support.
Not a ton of specialists in this game.
No, there really aren't.
I believe there are eight.
Let's see, three, six, nine, ten.
Okay.
10 specialists.
Soon to be 11, or is that including?
Currently 9, 10 with Zool.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying, trying to break them down like we did with our other classes just doesn't work very well. They're just because they all pretty much do the same thing, with a few exceptions, but we'll get to those. We'll just start with the Diablo Universe specialists. We've got Nazebo, who we were just talking about. He is just crazy as far as he's great sustain. He can be annoying in a lane. He can push down a lane of creeps very, very quickly and put pressure on your walls and towers without really having to do a whole lot. He's got some great ults that come into team fights. Both of them are solid picks. You've got a good front line. The Ravenous Spirit can decimate a front line or a back line or whatever is in its way.
I think it definitely excels at backline killing. You know, if you have a Li Ming back there or a, even a Morales, I mean, you can make somebody run for their life.
Yeah.
It's very good.
He doesn't.
And it goes so far. I mean, I think it goes almost in an infinite range. I think you can chase somebody as long as it's up.
Almost. It does have a range on it, but it's so far, I don't think it matters. I think the big thing is its casting range, which can feel a little short sometimes. If it doesn't secure kills, it'll at least force people out of the fight, which means you win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to get the kill in order to win.
I want a skin for it where it's like one of those like vinyl air-filled guys in front of car dealerships.
The wacky inflatable arm-flailing tube man?
Yeah, one of those guys.
That'd be one of the best things ever.
What if it was like a Patronus and he was like straight out of Hogwarts? Like,
that would be crazy. That would be crazy.
Thanks again to the crew from Dirty Casual for being on the show this week. Let's move on to this week's podcast news.
Well met.
Well met indeed. Episode 50 of the Hearthstone podcast was a special milestone for this BlizzPro show, as Hearthstone senior producer Young Woo joined the crew to talk about the standard format and the 2016 World Championship Tour. Listen to the show on your app of choice or at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. Follow the show on Twitter at WellMetPodcast. There are no haters on episode 162 of Your WoW Money when gold-making blogger and former podcaster Fat Lutz joins Joe and Dead Greed to talk about the current state of affairs and what's on the horizon in the upcoming Legion expansion. Get your gold on at yourwowmoney.com. There are a couple of new Overwatch shows out there. From the producer of Town Hall Heroes comes Town Hall Overwatch, a show hosted by Solid Jake and Ask Joshy, which places a focus on the competitive scene of the upcoming team shooter. The first two episodes are already out there, and while the show isn't on iTunes just yet, you can either watch it at youtube.com/solidjakegg, or you can listen to it at soundcloud.com/townhalloverwatch. The second new Overwatch podcast to talk about is called The Initiative. Now, I don't have a ton of information about this show at present, but you can check out episode 1 for yourself, which is right now on iTunes, and follow the show on Twitter at TheInitiativeOW. Supporters of Blizzard Watch via Patreon already have access to episode 16 of Lore Watch, but it will become available for everyone's ears this coming weekend, and it's a show you won't want to miss as Anne, Matt, and Joe talk about everything that was learned and confirmed in the recently released preview to Warcraft Chronicle. Listen to Lore Watch on iTunes, SoundCloud, or find the show at blizzardwatch.com. On episode 113 of Shattered Soulstone, Medros from All Things Azeroth pays a visit to the show, but apparently he hasn't played any Diablo 3 recently. So why is he there, and what's that all about? I'll leave that for you to find out on your podcast app of choice or at shatteredsoulstone.com. Originally, the WoW Challenges podcast was a monthly venture from Stone and Letha, but don't be surprised if you see the next episode sooner than you think. In fact, episode 9 with special guest Asylon is already out for your listening pleasure as the three talk about Legion updates, pacifist challenge woes, and much more. Make sure to follow this podcast on Twitter at WoW Challenges so you can get a heads up to when they record episode 10 and beyond. It's been a little over a week since the Heroes Charity Brawl, and in the wake of the event, the folks of Stormcast have included the audio from the end of that brawl, in which the hosts of the show, as well as Core, Into the Nexus, and Lords of the Storm, talked about the fun they had and the general state of the game. Listen to the Roundtable as a special episode of Stormcast, which you can download in all the usual places, and of course at stormcastshow.spazbotstudios.com. Although Artemis Howe has left the world of Warcraft, there are plenty of hunters left on the Hunting Party podcast that are always ready for some hunter talk. On their most recent show, Bendak, Dark Brew, and Delirium welcome Shoot as their guest. Shoot talks about what it's like to take on some of WoW's toughest bosses in some extreme soloing play. Find out about that as well as the state of Beastmasters in the Legion Alpha on episode 234, available on your podcast apps and at huntingpartypodcast.com. I'd like to give an early bit of congratulations to WoW Talk, which just released episode 49 and is just days away from their 50th episode. Now, this is Nick's last show for the foreseeable future as he's about to become a father, but that doesn't stop the crew from talking about the past couple weeks of WoW news and giving you listeners a chance to win a companion pet of your choice from the Blizzard store. For details on how you can win that pet, check out the show at mashthosebuttons.com. And finally, there's a podcast out there that isn't exactly a Blizzard game podcast, but it might still be of interest to you if you're a fan of the music in World of Warcraft as well as other MMOs. The show is called Battle Bards, and you can find the show at battlebards.libsyn.com as well as iTunes and Stitcher. Follow the show on Twitter at BattleBardsCast, and be sure to check out episode 63 specifically as the Battle Bards dive into the music of Warlords of Draenor. And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and begin my climb to rank 5 or better in Hearthstone this month. Wish me luck. Just another reminder, do check out episode 4 of Reigns of Azeroth if you are interested in winning a mount of your choice from the Blizzard store. There is a certain secret word that is mentioned during part of that episode, and if you email that word to realmpodcast@gmail.com, you will be entered. And you have until March 3rd, I believe, to get those entries in, so just a couple days left. One more thing before I head on out of here. I wanted to give you folks a quick update on extended maintenance in case you didn't see it on Twitter and you're a listener of the show. Extended maintenance is going on a bit of extended maintenance, an extended hiatus of sorts. I know it's been a few weeks since we put out a show. It's going to be until at least Easter or a bit later till another episode gets out. And that's just simply because time management, trying to schedule time for Alt and I to record at the same time has been tricky. And we both have things going on in our offline lives that have made it even more complicated to get together. That said, the show is not pod fading entirely into oblivion. We will be back with a new episode at some point in the future, as soon as we can get our scheduling matters all worked out and as soon as there's something to talk about besides Water Striders. That's that, though. As always, I want to thank you folks for downloading and listening to this show this week. If you'd like to support what I'm doing here, you can go to patreon.com/realmpodcast. As always, feel free to leave your comments about the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or realm-maintenance.com. Realm-maintenance.com is where you want to go to find the weekly podcast roundup or sign up for the RSS feed. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're just a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter at realmpodcast or follow myself at Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Next week, I'll speak to the hosts of the World of Z's podcast, and spoiler alert, it's not a podcast about suffering from insomnia due to playing WoW. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been the presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2016, and is distributed by Signals Media. You can find this show and other great podcasts at signalsmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to Bearcat, Oakley, and Argyle for being on the show this week. Thanks to everyone in the community for the retweets and for getting the word out about the show. And of course, thanks to you for listening. Yes, friends, it's the end of the show, and that means it's time for the roundup. This is an insanely quick rundown of every Blizzard podcast I'm aware of that's produced a show between February 21st and 27th of 2016. For general Blizzard podcasts, we have All Things Azeroth, Azeroth Pirate Radio, Blizzard Cast, Blizzard Watch, The Blue Recluse, Convert to Raid, Epic Fail, Frozen Nerds, Lagging Balls, Storm Chasers of Azeroth, The Sundering, and The Training Dummies. For World of Warcraft podcasts, there's Azeroth Roundtable, Balrez Bears, Behind the Avatar, Corpse Run Radio, Evangelism, Final Boss, The Game Case Show, Girls Gone WoW, Hunting Party Podcast, Lore Watch, Monk Meditation, Reigns of Azeroth, Saturday Morning WoW, The Starting Zone, Stopcast, Torrent Think Tank, Unshackled Fury, Warcraft Off the Record, The Worgen's Howl, WoW Challenges, WoW Talk, WoWhead Weekly, World of Z's, and Your WoW Money. For Hearthstone Podcast, we have 1600 Dust, The Angry Chicken, Angry Chicken Brawl, Death Rattle Crew, Golden Wisp, Hearth Coach, Hearthcore, Hero Power Cast, The Light Forge, Legend of the Innkeeper, The Unstable Portal, Value Town, Velen's Chosen, Walk to Work, Well Met, and A Worthy Opponent. For Diablo, we have the Diablo 3 Podcast, Shattered Soulstone, and Westmarch Workshop. For Heroes of the Storm Podcast, we have Core, Dirty Casual, Eye on the Storm, Into the Nexus, Lords of the Storm, and Stormcast. And for Overwatch podcasts, we have The Cavalry, High Noon, The Initiative, The Overcast, Overtalk, The Overview, Town Hall Overwatch, and Overwatchers. For links to all the shows and archives of this podcast, check out realm-maintenance.com.
This podcast is a part of the Signals Media All-Star Network. For more information on this and other fine shows, go to signalsmedia.com. It's okay to stick our stuff in your ears. Really?